Hey there, it's Debbie, and welcome to Playback Friday. Most Fridays, I re-release one of my favorite conversations from the archive. So unless you're a longtime listener of the show, there's a good chance you haven't heard this one yet. And even if you have, you just might get something completely different from it listening to it this time around.
I've had some success in my life, right? I'm not a trillionaire or anything like that, but I've done okay. I sold a couple of companies. I've done all right. And so I've just always been of the belief that if you have any modicum of success, you have a responsibility to send the elevator back down. And so for me, this is the best way I know how to do it, to explain to kids and other people, hey, you're not broken. And these things that everyone has been telling you are bad things are actually tremendous gifts. And I want you to understand that and embrace that.
Welcome to the Tilt Parenting Podcast, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I'm your host, Debbie Reber, and today I'm excited to bring to the podcast Peter Shankman, a multiple startup founder, best-selling author, and creator of Faster Than Normal, a leading ADD-ADHD podcast focusing on the benefits of being gifted with ADHD, which also happens to describe Peter. Peter's new book, Faster Than Normal, Turbocharge Your Focus, Productivity, and Success with the Secrets of the ADHD Brain, comes out today. So we're going to be talking about that, along with getting really deep into Peter's personal story, specifically how he's learned to not only manage his ADHD, but tap into the many gifts that come along with his diagnosis. As the mama of a boy with ADHD, I loved this conversation and Peter's infectiously positive attitude in the way he moves through the world. But even if your child doesn't have ADHD or perhaps isn't even differently wired at all, Peter's perspective on the importance of self-knowledge and setting yourself up for success, as well as his ideas around productivity and creativity, are messages everyone can benefit from. Before I get into the episode, did you know that some of the production costs for the podcast are being offset by generous donations from listeners like you? I'm now able to outsource my final post-production costs, which is fantastic and so very appreciated. My goal is to eventually have all the post-production tasks outsourced. If you'd like to help us reach our goal, please consider supporting us through our Patreon campaign. Patreon is a simple membership platform that allows listeners like you to make a small monthly contribution, as little as $2 a month, to fund our efforts. If you want to help us, visit patreon.com/tiltparenting. And now I'll get on with the show. Hey, Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Well, really excited to have you on the show. I'm a fan of your podcast, and I'm sure a lot of the parents in our community are as well. And before we talk about what you're doing with your podcast and your new book, I'd love if you could just tell us a little bit about the highlights of your childhood with ADHD and maybe some of the moments along the way that kind of led you to where you are today with this project.
Yeah, I mean, so when I was growing up, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and we didn't have ADHD. It wasn't called ADHD. It was called sit down, you're disrupting the class disease. And, you know, every report card and a lot of notes from the teacher in between those report cards were usually needs to pay attention, needs to focus, needs to stop interrupting the class, things like that. And it was sort of just who I was. And I was fortunate enough that I had some artistic talent, musical talent, and I got into high school of performing arts, the FAME school, where everyone was a little weird and a little crazy. And so I went there and, you know, still was definitely socially awkward. I had the social acuity of a hedgehog. But, you know, I learned a little bit more about myself there. And it didn't really kick in until probably in my late 20s, early 30s, when I sort of got over my social awkwardness and realized there were better ways to be a human being. But throughout all that time, I never thought I had ADHD. I never thought I was different. I just was me, you know, didn't think was anything different about it. But what I didn't know at the time was I was figuring out ways to be better, ways to act better, ways to work better, ways to live better. And all the things I were doing, I just thought that they were just me being told I was weird, strange, and different, and not normal. And it was those kind of things, though, that led me to eventually realizing, when I finally did get diagnosed in my mid-30s, like, holy crap, I have been self-medicating for 20-plus years, but in a healthy way. I've been figuring out and implementing ways to create the serotonin, dopamine, and adrenaline that my body doesn't produce because I have ADHD naturally. you know? So I wasn't like going on cocaine binges or anything stupid like that. I was, you know, I became a licensed skydiver. I have over 400 jumps. I've done Ironman triathlons. I figured out a way to turn my, I've never had a real job. I had one real job in my life with America Online, and I've been on my own for the last 19 years. And I could never imagine working for someone else because that's sort of just how I live and how I exist. And in doing that, you have to create sort of these rules and these rituals and regulations for yourself that you have to follow. Otherwise you're in trouble. So what I realized is that I've been doing all that. I've been self-managing my ADHD without meds. Not that I'm against meds, but just without them. In a way that's not only worked for me, but been incredibly lucrative and beneficial. I've started and sold 3 companies, the biggest of which being Help a Reporter Out or Harrow, which sort of fundamentally changed how journalists and sources connect. I've been on countless boards. I'm an angel investor. I run a mastermind group for 200 entrepreneurs. I have what'll be in October 5 books coming out. So, you know, I find ways to use this sort of faster brain to my advantage. And then, of course, about a year and a half ago, I launched the Faster Than Normal podcast, which is currently the number one podcast for ADHD on iTunes, that focuses on ADHD as a gift, not a curse. It's the basic premise from Alice in Wonderland where, yes, have I gone mad? And the answer is, I'm afraid so. You're entirely bonkers, but I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are.
That's great. I love that story. I'm excited to play this for my son, who just turned 13, and ADHD is one of his diagnoses. And we were just talking this morning about that he is a multi-passionate person. He has so many interests, and that's probably his biggest frustration right now is getting distracted on his own and not making the progress he wants to see on all these things he wants to do. But I love hearing your story and how you're living it all, and it's going to be so inspiring. It's really awesome.
Thank you. I mean, I think I'm very fortunate. I'm very lucky. I've had a lot of fun. For me, you know, like I said, I've just every day I wake up, I'm like, I cannot believe that this is my life, that I get to do this, that I get to do everything that I do, and that I'm enjoying it, and I'm actually making a living at it. It's pretty awesome.
It sounds pretty awesome. Before we talk more about your podcast and the book, just in hearing your story and knowing that my audience is comprised of parents who are raising, you know, what I call differently wired kids, a lot of whom have ADHD, I'm curious to know how your parents were with who you were as a kid. I mean, a lot of the parents in my community are getting that feedback from schools. A lot of them end up pulling their kids out to homeschool them because they just can't find a way for their child to feel good about who they are and the way that they show up in the classroom. You know, how did your parents handle that at the time?
My parents are both musicians and music teachers, and so they were already in the arts and things like that. They knew that I was different from an early age. They didn't so much try to rein me in as much as they told people that I was, or they told me that, you know, I was different. And while that's great, and it's great to be different, I also need to understand that, you know, being different, while it's good, it's not necessarily, it's going to cause you some issues because not everyone accepts that. But if you continue on and you keep surviving and you do everything you could do, it's worth it, you know. And I'm very fortunate. My mom's favorite line about me was, he marches to the beat of a different drummer. And that really was everything I did, you know, and it was tough. I mean, I won't lie. Junior high sucked, man. Oh my God, it sucked. It was terrible. I was mercilessly teased and abused and beaten up and everything by kids. And, you know, when you're different, especially, you know, when you're a kid, when you're in your early teenage years, when you're different, that's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was certainly not like everyone else. I didn't have many friends, but the payoff of that has been over the top. And I look at kids and I'm just, there was a hashtag a couple of years ago for teenagers, it gets better.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it gets so much better.
Yeah.
It's so much better.
Yeah. I was talking with another mom today of a middle schooler, and we were just discussing those years really are just socially, I think, the most challenging. And for kids who are moving through the world in a different way, that is, you don't want to be different at those particular ages.
No question about it. You know, it's funny. I look back on it now and you know, the majority of the stuff out there was that I was worried about as a kid was probably pointless. But, you know, it does suck when you're not like everyone else at that age, when your only job is really to be social, right? You're in junior high, your only job is to be social. And if you suck at that, you're not going to do too well. And so I was kind of ostracized in that. But again, everyone says, oh, if you had a time machine, what would you change? I go, not a thing, because what I learned from that, right, the stuff that I learned in junior high, that still sticks with me today. And that's responsible for a lot of my success.
Well, I love that you also, you know, you're obviously a natural problem solver and a very curious person to do what you've done, and also to do this self-managing, which is pretty phenomenal. And I know that that's a lot of what you talk and write about, but would you mind sharing with us what some of your most effective strategies would be? Or maybe when you were younger, and then I'm sure they changed as you've gotten older, but especially for those who are choosing not to medicate or are looking for alternative ways to manage their ADHD symptoms, or at least not have them hold them back. What have been some of the best strategies for you?
Okay, so when I was a kid, I literally was just surviving by the skin of my teeth. I wasn't thriving, I was surviving. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized the things I was doing could actually, if I just tweak them a little bit, could be beneficial. But the things I do now, my day has to start with a workout. That is not up to debate. 7 days a week, it could be a small workout. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to go and train the hardest I've ever trained for the hardest race I've ever done every single day, but I have to do something. I have to sweat. I have to get my breath up, because that right there is starting off my day by giving me the dopamine, the serotonin, and the adrenaline I need to be able to focus. On days that I don't work out, you know, if I'm on an overnight flight or something like that, I feel it. I feel the difference. And so, you know, this morning, I've been up since 4 a.m. I took a Peloton class this morning. I have a 4-year-old daughter who's with me half the week. And the times that I'm with her, I have a Peloton class in my room, I have a Peloton bike in my apartment. The times I'm not with her, I'm either at the gym lifting or taking, or cycling in Central Park, or occasionally taking live classes. So I had a live class at 6 a.m. this morning. It was great. There were like 10 people in the class. It was totally empty. We had a blast, played great music. I walked out of there 10 to 7, you know, 7 o'clock. I was showered. I was dressed. I was like high as a kite, right? Those endorphins, they're still with me right now. It's 3 hours later. I'm still do, you know. So that's what you want, right? So the first thing I'd say is, you know, find the time to exercise, whether you're a kid, whether you're in school, whatever it is, even if it's just getting to school and running around, find the time to do it. So the second thing I would say, a big thing for me is what you eat, what you put in your mouth. It's funny, we have kids as young as 5 years old being diagnosed with ADHD and being put on amphetamines, Adderall, Ritalin. You know, and there's some kids who definitely need that. There's no question about it. I'm not anti-med, but I think we're well over-diagnosing, and we're well over-prescribing these medications. You know, maybe the kid's running around, you know, because he's, I don't know, 5, you know, and maybe instead of putting him on drugs to get a 5-year-old to behave like a 45-year-old, maybe instead of feeding him 3 bowls of frosted sugar bombs every morning, you give him eggs, protein, right? Some veggies in the morning. And then you let him run around for a half hour instead of putting him in front of the television, you know, then have him go to school and see the difference. You know, the amount of things that I've been able to do for myself that have massively shifted how my brain works and how I work and how productive I am and how happy I am are not like hugely massive things. They're little tiny things like exercising, like eating healthier. I quit drinking. Not that I'm assuming that, you know, 12-year-olds are drinking, but who knows. But I quit drinking just because I understand that I don't have the ability to moderate. And looking back on it now in junior high, I didn't. If I had something I wanted to say, I said it. I shared it, right? Because it was the most important thing. I had to share it. You know, I joke with my friends. I have two speeds. I have namaste and I'll cut a and that's basically it, right? And so because of that, you know, remember the movie War Games that came out in the 80s computer learned to prevent nuclear war, the only winning move was not to play? Mm-hmm. That's my life. There are things I don't do because I know they won't end well. Did I ever have a drinking problem? Was I ever going out and getting wasted and drunk driving or embezzling? Of course not. But I don't have one drink. I have 6 drinks. And for me, it's just easier not to have one. And so that, to me, was a real sort of wake-up call in terms of how you treat yourself. It's the oxygen mask theory. You can't take care of anyone else until you're taking care of yourself. And so the best thing you can do, the best way you can focus your time, whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 50, is to make sure you're taking the best care of you before anything else.
If you listen to this show, you probably know that at least 1 in 5 children is differently wired. But did you know that approximately 1 in 2 women will experience hair thinning? If you're part of that 50%, you are absolutely not alone. But because hair thinning for women isn't something people openly talk about, going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. So why not do something about it with Nutrafol? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth isn't going to cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, postpartum, menopause, even for different lifestyles like a plant-based diet. To get your personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, you can take a simple hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com. And because there's no prescription required, you can quickly get set up online with free shipping and automated deliveries, which make it so much easier to stick with your new hair care routine. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TILT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. This year, I've been working on becoming more attuned to my body, and so I'm starting to really recognize how periodic spikes in anxiety or disruptions to my routines can seriously throw my whole system off. And as I've been traveling a ton this past month, which is both disruptive and somewhat stressful, I'm especially glad that I have the extra support of Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement from Ritual with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Symbiotic Plus provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining to support a healthy gut barrier, and it comes in this very cool minty delayed-release capsule, which was specifically designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. The bonus is that the capsules don't need to be refrigerated, so I can easily bring them with me in my carry-on. On a personal level, I love that Ritual is committed to sustainability. They're a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable long-term to not only think about their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/tilt. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/tilt for 25% off.
That's great. I saw that you've had Hal Elrod on your podcast.
And yep, love Hal.
Yeah, Asher and I have been doing the Miracle Morning for about a year and a half now, and just implementing that has been so helpful for him, you know, for both of us, of course, yep. but for him to really be intentional, which seems like it's a big piece of it.
How old is your son?
He just turned 13.
You should get the there's a great big book of affirmations that's also written by Hal and a woman named Brianna Greenstein. And it's a coloring book. I don't know if your son still colors, but my 4-year-old and I, we take these pages and the affirmations, we color an affirmation, we hang it on our wall, and every night we say all the affirmation.
That's awesome. Thank you for that tip. So, all right, let's talk about your podcast. So you've talked about it a little bit. Tell us how often it comes out and what kind of people you bring on and what you're hoping it contributes to the conversation.
The podcast, Faster Than Normal, is the basic premise that if you look at celebrities and you look at CEOs and you look at people who have been successful, the majority of them have ADHD or some form of it. So the podcast interviews these people. We've had everyone from Tony Robbins to Seth Godin to Cameron Harold to the chief of staff to the mayor of Boston, Keith Krach, who founded DocuSign, Dave Neilman, who founded JetBlue. You know, really phenomenal people of all walks of life, all of whom have done incredible things with their lives, and they blame it or attribute it to their ADHD. And it's basically, we listen to them. The interviews are 20 minutes. Each podcast is 20 minutes long because, well, ADD. And we focus on the things that they do that makes them successful. And we hopefully implement that. We've had doctors and we've had school psychologists and people like that on the program. We've had kids on the program as well who tell us about their day. But it's phenomenal. I'm so happy I started it. And it's so great to get emails from people. It's like, oh my God, it's changed my life. And it's nice. And so from that, I was contacted by Random House about a year ago to write a book. And so Faster Than Normal, the book, comes out October 3rd. And it's the website for that is actually fasterthannormalbook.com. So I'm really psyched about that.
Yeah, and listeners, I will make sure that the links for Peter's podcast and the book are all on the show notes page. And actually, hopefully, this is going to be airing right around the time the book comes out.
Awesome.
So, and the book is that kind of your inside scoop for how people with ADHD can maximize their potential?
Yeah, it's two things. It's the premise of how people with ADHD can maximize their potential, but it's also for regular people. It's for people who might not have ADHD, but who just want to get 4 hours a day in their life back. Right? You know, the tips and tricks that I give in there, both from me and from other successful people who are managing their ADHD, apply to anyone. You know, there's a reason that President Obama had a total of 3 suits and he wore them over and over again. There's a reason that Zuckerberg wears his hoodie all the time. I have 2 sides to my closet. One side, and they're labeled. One side says office/travel, and the other side says speaking/TV. The office/travel side has t-shirts, jeans. the speaking/TV side has button-down shirts, jackets, jeans. That's it, right? I have tons of gorgeous suits, like fine pieces made in Italy, and I wear those, you know, Jewish high holidays and all that. You know where I keep those? I keep those in my daughter's closet, along with sweaters and vests. And that. Because if I had to go in every morning, okay, what should I wear? Oh my God, that's, I remember that sweater. Laura gave me that sweater. I wonder how Laura, I should look. It's 3 hours later. I'm naked in the living room on Facebook and I haven't left the house. Right? So I eliminate choice. The ability to eliminate choice in your life is the greatest thing in the world. And right there, literally will save you an hour a day. I, stupid things like, you know, I corporate keynote speak all around the world and my contract is very simple. I'll speak, you'll pay me and pay my expenses. Literally, that's my contract, except in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, I have a rider in my contract that says, client will only do a 12:30 p.m. keynote, and I will not have to be on the ground in Las Vegas from wheels down to wheels up for more than 8 hours. So I fly in on a 6 a.m. flight in New York. I get in at 10 a.m. I do a 12:30 keynote. I'm on a 4 p.m. flight home. Why? Vegas, because if I had to go do a morning or an evening keynote, I'd have to spend a night in Vegas. Nothing good's going to come out of my spending a night unsupervised in Vegas. Am I going to go blow my child's college fund? No, probably not. But why give myself that opportunity, right? I've said this before publicly. I believe that on any given day, myself, people like me, but specifically myself, I can't speak for others, are about 3 bad decisions in a row away from being a junkie in the street. Now, am I going to leave here and go out and buy heroin? No, of course not. I have absolutely zero desire to do that. I can't imagine doing that. But living the life that you lead with a faster brain requires you to simply be aware. Be aware of yourself and be aware that that first decision, which might seem incredibly benign, could lead you down a road. You know, it's the question of, oh, well, you know, again, look at drinking again. I'm smart enough to know that I don't have one drink. One drink might lead to 6 drinks. Now, when I used to drink, it fortunately nothing ever came of that. I'd have 6 drinks, I'd go home, I'd feel like crap. But even feeling like crap, I'd wake up the next morning, I wouldn't work out because I felt like crap. If I didn't work out, well, you know, I already didn't work out. I feel like crap. Let me order some bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches to get rid of my hangover, you know, get rid of my, well, okay, well, I did that. Now it's lunch. Oh, I might as well order a pizza. I'm not going to go to the gym. Screw it. Let's have a drink. All of a sudden, this is a 2-week cheat day. Mm-hmm. That's not okay, right? With these faster brains, you do everything and it just becomes, there are great aspects to it. Hey, I want to start a company. Great. An hour later, I've started a company. The downside of that is that that same speed can be used negatively. So you just need to be aware. And, you know, one of the things I think that parents need to sort of make sure their kids understand, those who have ADHD, I mean, every kid, but those who have ADHD, is that because we're so fast, we do things that could mess us up a lot quicker than regular people. I know people who go out, have several drinks, have a great time, go home, and they go to bed. You know, it's like, best story I can give you. I work in a shared office space. It's like a Regis, you know, that you rent a, I have a small office where I can close the door and just focus. My next door neighbor does something in fashion. I don't know what she does, but every Friday she has 2 employees, and every Friday she orders a pizza for her and the 2 employees. And they always have leftovers. And they, for like a month, she comes in, Peter, we have leftover pizza. Would you like some leftover pizza? And I finally looked at her, I said, Desiree, I thank you so much, but you keep saying the words leftover pizza. I don't understand what that is. Leftover pizza is not a real thing, right? When I order a pizza, I eat the pizza. There's no that's like leftover wine, right? And she laughed, but you know, that's how my brain works. And so I have to understand that. Mm-hmm. I have to be aware of that, and I have to avoid, you know, I don't keep, there are apps where you can order food and have food delivered. And once you do it, you just click one button and the same order appears, right? The next day, I don't keep that app on my phone.
Right.
Because it'd be 2 pieces. It's like, yeah, you know, I can make this healthy chicken. Oh, let's just order a pizza. No, you have to understand yourself. And I think that it is incumbent upon parents who know whether they have it or whether their kids have it. Hey, your brains are a little different and you need to be aware of this because there are certain things you can't do like everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I mean, that's a big message that we share here and that certainly I drum into my child. And it personally, it's important to me too. Self-knowledge, I really think is everything. And especially when you can acquire that as a young person, you know, I feel like Asher knows himself better than most of the adults in my life, which is
that's wonderful.
Yeah, pretty cool. I wanted to ask you about stigma for a second. That is mm-hmm. something that we're also trying to bust here. You know, my kind of big picture vision is to just change the way difference is perceived and discussed in the world. And a lot of parents are shy about their child's diagnosis or being open about what's going on. That's not how we play at all here. But for some reason, ADHD seems to be one of those diagnoses that is more maligned than other neurodifferences. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are. I mean, you're obviously very open and proud of who you are. It's such a great role model for so many people. Was that something you had to kind of come to terms with? And or was that a conscious choice?
So look, I've had some success in my life, right? I'm not a trillionaire or anything like that, but I've done okay. I sold a couple of companies. I've done all right. And so I've just always been of the belief that if you have any modicum of success, you have a responsibility to send the elevator back down. And so for me, this is the best way I know how to do it. To explain to kids and other people, hey, you're not broken. And these things that everyone has been telling you are bad things are actually tremendous gifts. And I want you to understand that and embrace that.
I love that. And yes, not broken, not deficits in need of fixing. This is just different in who we are. Do you have a lot of kids and teens who listen to your podcast?
Yeah, we do. And a lot of parents as well who tell their kids, hey, you should listen to this. And that just thrills me. And we've had a couple of kids, a couple of teenagers on the show as well as guests. There's a great one with Emma Having Host who I think the title of that one is Do Not Disturb is My Best Friend. We've had they give really, really good advice.
That's awesome. Well, let me ask you one last question before we head off. And that is for the parents who are listening. Do you have advice for those parents on how they can best support who their kids are, especially when they're in the elementary, middle school years and, you know, they might be getting the message a lot that they're wrong or they're doing it. Yeah.
Just know that they're not broken. They're not broken. There's nothing wrong with them. They have a different brain and it works differently, but differently is not bad. A very good friend of mine is currently a PhD at Stanford, like studying stuff on she's doing her PhD on the skin. And basically, I'm smart enough to know that it's the skin, right? There's a lot more than that that I'm not smart enough to understand. She's doing stuff on the skin, okay?
Got it.
But she's massively ADHD. And if this is a girl who was like, she was the head cheerleader at Notre Dame. She's at Harvard studying immunology. That's what it is, studying immunology, right, for her PhD. Girl's freaking brilliant. Mm-hmm. And she owns this because she uses her ADHD to her benefit. So that to me, you know, you're not broken. And if you think you are, call me. I'll talk some sense into you.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, before we go, would you mind again just sharing where people can reach you, the best places on social or that people can connect with you?
Yeah. So the podcast is fasterthannormal.com. My name is Peter Shankman. I am at Peter Shankman on all of the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Fasterthannormal.com is the podcast. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. And then my website, shankman.com. My email is peter@shankman.com. I answer all my own email personally.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And best of luck with the book. I cannot wait to get our copy. I'm sure that my son will devour it. And I'm sure it's going to be so useful to this community. And thanks for just putting it out into the world.
Pleasure was mine. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. For the show notes for this episode, including links to Peter's podcast and his new book, Faster Than Normal, visit tiltparenting.com/session77. And a quick invitation to try our free Differently Wired 7-Day Challenge if you haven't done it yet. When you sign up, I'll email you a short inspirational video every day for 1 week with a tip you can incorporate into your life right away to shift your experience in a positive way. You'll also be invited to join a private Facebook group for people who've gone through or are currently doing the challenge. More than 700 people have gone through the challenge so far. It's free, it's ongoing, and it's designed to help you find more peace and confidence in your parenting journey today. To join, visit tiltparenting.com/7-day. Lastly, if you like what you heard on today's episode, please consider subscribing or leaving a review on iTunes. Both things help our podcast get noticed in the crowded podcast space. Thanks again for listening. For more information on Tilt Parenting, visit www.tiltparenting.com.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of there, life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking It.